What is up, guys? My name is Jordan. I'm back with my old man, Howie, and welcome to episode 45 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the show. Music got a little funky there at the end. Did you notice that, Jordan?
Nothing different here.
Okay. Sounds a little funky. We'll see what the final recording sounds like. Anyway, we're right in the middle of one of the best sports times of the year. You know, we don't have football right now, or at least games on the field, even though the draft is coming up later this week. But NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball off to a hot start. Lots of good stuff all around.
Indeed.
Where do you want to start? Where would you like to start?
I think it's only fitting that we kick it off with the NBA, just with all the games won, being played yesterday and today. A lot of interesting stuff to start off. I mean, we can go game by game or just anything eye-popping. We'll start with the first game yesterday, Cavs Magic. I mean, not the most sexy series, but just interesting. I mean, Magic have not been very good like recently in terms of years, but Paolo Banchero leading the team to the 5 seed in the East. Impressive season for them. 12 games above 500, but I don't think anyone expected them to even be remotely close to the top of the East in terms of seeding, but not an impressive showing for Paolo's debut with the Magic. Obviously, tough going on the road in Cleveland, especially with the motivated Cleveland team who lost to the New York Knicks last year in 5 games. So, good win for the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell showed up, played well, but I do think the Cavs need to go pretty far if they want to keep Donovan Mitchell next year. But still a good start for the Cavs and the team all around.
Yeah, I feel like that's the talk already, you know, in terms of Donovan not sticking around beyond this year. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you give up players and picks to, you know, get that guy, and at the end of the day, you know, you want him to stick around. But that's a tough one. You know, as far as the Magic goes, like you said, first time in the playoffs in a while, young guys, they got to get some experience under their belts, and, you know, maybe they can get a game or two in that particular series.
Yeah, but so good that they're there. Still a good season. I wouldn't say it was a failure by any means.
And it's nowhere near over yet. It seems like it would seem like the Cavs would have the upper hand in getting that series.
Yep. Well, moving on to one of the better matchups in the playoffs: Suns Timberwolves. A lot of star power on both teams. You got Anthony Edwards, Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, and then on the Suns, you got the three-headed monster with Booker, KD, and Bradley Beal. Very impressive win for the Timberwolves. I think Anthony Edwards is showing that he is top 10 potential in the NBA. I know he had more than 30 points. I don't know the exact number, but very impressive showing for him. And I think one of the most underrated players in the league who's probably going to get, very surprisingly, he's the front runner for Defensive Player this year, Rudy Gobert, looking to get his 4th Defensive Player of the Year award, which is pretty crazy. But he definitely showed his presence yesterday in the paint. Very difficult to guard him with the height on that Timberwolves team between him and Karl Anthony Towns. So very good start for Minnesota. And Suns have some work to do if they want to get back into the series.
Yeah, Edwards had 33 points, 14 of 24 from the field, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Edwards is showing signs of, you know, being a superstar. Some people say almost Michael Jordan-esque. I mean, that's a big leap there. But, you know, if the Timberwolves can get this series, that'd be fantastic for them. It's interesting because when you have guys like KD in these games, I wouldn't put Booker in KD's class just because Booker's still young, but similar to LeBron, and we'll get to LeBron later, but you find it hard to get past the thought that these all-time guys, these Hall of Fame guys, are not the favorites. You know, going into this series, here I am, I'm thinking KD. KD's not a youngster anymore. You know, you got Towns, like you said, Gobert, Edwards. You know, those are the guys now. It's tough for the older guys. I mean, obviously, you know, Golden State got eliminated earlier in the week. Klay Thompson, will he be back or not? You know, those guys achieve so much success, and it's difficult when you get to the end. I'm not saying KD is at the end, but, you know, the Timberwolves have a very talented team.
And I think
very talented team.
Just piggybacking off that, I think that's a good transition to the Knicks 76ers matchup. I wouldn't say Embiid's, well, who knows with his freaking legs how long he's going to last. I don't think he's close to the end, but the Knicks are just one of those teams that, I don't know if you, adversity is the correct word, but no Julius Randle, banged up the entire year, get to the 2 seed in the East, home court advantage for the first 2 rounds if they make it that far. And by no means did Brunson play his best game, or anyone on the Knicks for that matter, but just a gritty win for a team that really has nothing to lose this season.
Well, Josh Hart and McBride probably were the standout guys in that game, but I agree. I mean, to your point, it's the Knicks, it's, you know, in people's minds, they still don't have a superstar, even though Brunson is definitely, scratching the surface of being a superstar. They got a deep team. And it's funny because, you know, Embiid during the game, he did that off the backboard dunk, which was ridiculous. It almost looked like he shocked himself. Everybody thought he was done for the season, and then he came back in. And I know he's not 100%, and that seems to be the big storyline from the Sixers' perspective. But nobody ever says, oh, the Knicks are missing Julius Randle, an all-NBA player. I mean, you think about that. Kelly Oubre, in the interview after the game yesterday, he was just saying, like, the Knicks just keep coming at you. Their reserves are better. He didn't necessarily say their reserves are better. He just basically said their bench is full of very good players. And I think that's some of what went into the thought process of building this team, is that, you know, Hartenstein, McBride, Bogdanovich, and you think about, you know, they got Alex Burke on the bench and other guys who probably aren't even going to see the court during this series. But, you know, Vincenzo has a bad game. Brunson has a bad game. He's shot like 9 of 24, 8 of 24. You know, OG has a quiet game. And these other guys just step up. And, you know, Mitchell Robinson, when he was guarding Joel Embiid, I think Embiid was like 2 for 11.
Yeah.
So it's like you've got Robinson, who's like a 7-footer basically, 6'11". You got Hartenstein. They're just going to keep coming at you, you know?
Yeah,
it's nice to watch when you have that. It actually reminds me of sort of the Michigan football team. Everybody knows we're big fans, but just in terms of the mentality that Harbaugh instilled in that team, I mean, Thibodeau just makes these guys believe.
Yeah,
makes them believe, and you know, that's gonna be interesting to see how that series goes. The Knicks can get, you know, game two. I think it's tomorrow night.
Yeah,
you know, and then again, you know, last night's matchup. You know, if you want to start talking about that, just in terms of like thinking of LeBron and the legend that he is in a vacuum playing against these guys that are younger and I guess arguably better.
Yeah, I saw a funny Twitter comparison yesterday. For anyone that watches wrestling, obviously John Cena, Randy Orton, back in the day, two of the biggest stars. And there was a match in like 2007 or 2008 where it was John Cena and Randy Orton versus the entire Monday Night Raw roster in like a 20-2 handicap match. And I think that pretty much summed up game one yesterday, because it was literally LeBron and AD versus the entire Nuggets team. I mean, Lakers go up 12 in the first half, and just D'Angelo Russell, great season this year. He averaged 6 points a game in that series last year. People expected him to, oh, no way it can happen again. And I don't know if it's just bad shooting or, because like the Nuggets played well, but the Lakers definitely could have gotten that game. LeBron and AD, I mean, there's only so much they could do, but Jokic is Jokic. I mean, the Nuggets are just big, strong, know how to win guys, but I don't even know. I just think the Lakers. I think
the Nuggets, they just have guys that are in their prime, or having Michael Porter Jr.'s, what is he, 25 years old, 26 years old? They're not even in their prime. Jokic is ridiculous, but you mentioned D'Angelo Russell. I mean, had a horrible playoff last year. They brought him back probably because they felt that, you know, they didn't have any other options. And I really think it's mental with him. Like when you hear him in the interviews and stuff like that, he doesn't have that mentality. And I was watching some of the plays in the game last night, and there was just a couple of series back to back where he makes bad decisions. And I think LeBron was saying it after the game. He's like, you got to be focused all the time if you want to be the best. You can't make careless turnovers. You can't take bad shots. And I agree with you. I mean, obviously, LeBron in the conversation for the greatest of all time, Anthony Davis healthy this year, playing his heart out. You know, you go to Denver, they're playing in that Denver altitude, which everybody says, if you're a road team playing in that altitude, it's difficult on you. But, you know, there's only so much they can do. And I've said this before, you know, I always find it hard to believe that LeBron's only won four championships because he's just so good. And maybe the moving of teams, moving around, orchestrating, going from franchise to franchise, it just breaks your continuity, I guess. I know also the Warriors obviously ran into a buzzsaw because they were arguably a dynasty. It's unfortunate because he should have 7, 8, 9 championships. No question about it. He's so talented. I was reading a stat before. He's closing in between regular season and playoffs on 50,000 points. It is just ridiculous. I mean, you look at his stat line from yesterday's game. The guy's like 39 years old, and he played. They clearly went all out to try to get that game. He played 41 minutes. He had 27 points, 10 of 16 from the field, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. It's like, what more do you want from the guy? And listen, to come back and play again, play 35, 40 minutes at his age, it's not easy. I mean, you look at the Nuggets, I'm like looking at the stat line. Jamal Murray played 39 minutes. Jokic played 39, but LeBron is playing 41. AD played 45. D'Angelo Russell played 41. It's like, guys are going to run themselves into the ground.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because the guy's a legend. I mean, he really is.
Yep. Well, 3 of the 4 games that we just talked about will be played tomorrow. I don't think the Timberwolves and Suns play till Tuesday. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in those series. A lot of things still up in the air, obviously, but that's why it's a 7-game series. And then, I mean, we could talk about today's. We could also save it for the next time we chat. I mean, the Bucks and Pacers are playing right now. Dame Lillard's going off, but the first 2 games today, not competitive at all. Celtics absolutely blew out the Heat, as expected. I mean, no Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier, just total mismatch for the Miami Heat. Not taking credit away from Spoelstra or anything, but obviously just a tough matchup. And then surprising, I think, probably the most surprising outcome of a game so far, not because of this team's talent, but Clippers beating the Mavericks in dominant fashion without Kawhi, with the Mavericks probably being one of the top 3 hottest teams in the NBA in the recent weeks. Just not a good game for the Mavericks. I don't expect this to be a sweep by any means, but very, very surprising. James Harden. James Harden played well.
You know, it's interesting. Didn't Zubac, wasn't he like almost like a salary dump by the Lakers when they were trying to clear cap space? I forget who they were trying to sign.
Well, I think they had him, and then they got Marc Gasol, so they didn't have a need for him anymore.
But they like dumped him, and here the guy is. He's like starring in that series for the Clippers. I was surprised by that as well. And again, you know, you look at the Mavericks box score. You know, you got Kyrie plays 39 minutes, has 31 points, and Luka 42 minutes, 33 points. And then the next guy is PJ Washington, 11 points. just not going to happen when that's what you have. Versus like the Clippers, Paul George had 22, Zubac had 20, Harden had 28. I mean, good for Harden, you know, not one of my favorite players. Terrence Mann had 13 points, and Westbrook, you forget about him, 23 minutes off the bench, 5 of 8, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. You think about the guys whose names I just read off and the fact that they have Kawhi. If Kawhi can come back and play, you know, the Clippers have a shot.
That's a big ask at this point.
I know. He's banged up and stuff. And just one thing I wanted to mention to you with the Heat and Celtics game, there was a play towards the end where Jason Tatum got, like, rocked. Like, I forget which player.
Like, fell flat on his back.
Yeah. And then Brian Scalabrine was commenting after the game that he thought that might have been. He was pointing out that it's interesting that in several Heat games, players on other teams have gotten injured, including Julius Randle. You know, apparently Bam Adebayo, almost insinuating that Eric Spoelstra told one of his players to go out there and try to injure Tatum, which, you know,
It did not look dirty by any means. I don't think
it's a nasty fall.
Yeah.
Nasty fall, but, you know, dirty or not, I mean, yeah. Who knows?
Then as for the other two games, I mean, Bucks going to wrap up game one, it looks like, and then Pelicans Thunder, we could talk about that next time. Yeah.
It's just, again, interesting just to say, I feel like there's a changing of the guard. It's, you know, obviously they have LeBron in prime time last night, and that equals ratings and stuff like that. But you, like, look at some of these games, and, you know, Pelicans Thunder, you're almost like, who's the star?
Shay.
There are stars. They're just young guys.
Yeah.
They're just young guys that haven't been good for that long. Similar, like, to Orlando.
Yep.
You know, you forget who's on that team.
Yep. I think we could, we didn't talk about it last time. We can just switch to baseball real quick. Just going to do some quick hitters as to who's, like, really showing out, which teams are really showing out. We don't really have to go in depth as it's only, like, 25 games into the season, not even, but just some quick hitters. Yankees and Orioles dominating the American League. The Guardians, surprisingly enough, at 16-6. The Rangers, the defending World Series champions, sit at 11-11 and lead their division. And the last place in that division, very surprising, 7-16, is the Astros. The Oakland Athletics,
wow.
The Oakland Athletics, who have no one, who have maybe 100 fans at each game, have a better record than them, which is crazy. And then in the National League, Braves, Phillies, obviously these teams, the Mets have been showing up recently. The Brewers have been very good. And then, I mean, everyone wanted to talk about the Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto signings to the Dodgers, I think combined $1 billion. The Dodgers are 13-11 and sit one game ahead of second place, which is, I know it's only 24, 25 games in the year, but they're 3-7 in their last 10 games with two players getting paid a combined $1 billion. And Mookie Betts is probably the MVP frontrunner. He's going crazy. Freddie Freeman's playing well, and they're at 13-11. Crazy.
That's the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know the Mets had a good showing against them this weekend. I mean, today, the Dodgers sprang back today. Shohei had a big home run, but I can't believe the Astros. That's crazy. And I wouldn't put past them to turn it around.
But. Yeah. Well, to be fair, four of their starting pitchers have been out, including Justin Verlander, but 7-16 is inexcusable. I mean, that is just not good.
Yeah, the Yanks are off to a pretty good start, right? They're 15-7.
They just need Cole. They need Judge to heat up more.
I mean, is Cole playing, or is he still
he's
there?
Out probably till June, July, but it's very, very interesting if you follow baseball, the amount of starting pitchers that have been ruled out for the year due to Tommy John surgery it's like record breaking. Like Spencer Schrider, Cy Young frontrunner, done for the year. Shane Bieber, Cy Young frontrunner, done for the year. Just very surprising.
Yeah, surprising. It's just, you know, people say one thing or another about the way that pitchers, the game is faster now, they'll blame it on that. You know, it seems like there's always something that they're going to blame it on. But it's just amazing with the the way that athletes train these days and the shape that they keep themselves in, that when you go back and you look at pitchers in the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, it's just like you would roll guys out there for 8-9 innings on a regular basis and they wouldn't have an injury. And now it just seems like these guys are so delicate. And when teams invest so much money in these players and they get hurt like that, you know, going back to the Yankees, Aaron Judge, I mean, I wonder if he's banged up a little bit, you know, just
because he
hasn't been the same player.
He's not doing that bad, but obviously, like Soto has clearly been the best player on the team up to this point, but
he's been great. He's really sparked that team, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Judge is batting 179 this year. He has 11 RBI.
Well, yeah, so he's not doing well at all.
Yeah, 3 home runs.
By Judge's standards, 3 home runs. Yeah. It's not May yet, but it's coming quick.
Indeed. But that pretty much does it for the MLB. Still obviously a long way to go. Warmer weather coming out. Probably going to go to a couple baseball games. And that pretty much does it for baseball.
Yeah. I mean, NHL, just touch upon the Rangers.
Yeah, it's just
New York guys.
Rangers played well today, game one. Same with the NBA. All game ones, obviously far away to go. But Rangers, Bruins, Hurricanes, Panthers all getting wins. Western Conference, or West Side teams are going to start playing. Just fun time to be a sports fan. A lot of stuff going on. The spring games are happening. I went to the spring game yesterday for Michigan football, which was enjoyable. They announced Michigan, Texas is the maze out game at noon for Big Noon kickoff, which should be awesome. And then I saw a tweet today, Scott Hansen from NFL Red Zone, 20 Sundays away from week one. Just crazy.
Yeah, the draft this week, I think there's more intrigue about this draft than any draft in several years, just because there's so many of these quarterbacks. Who's going to go where? You know, Marvin Harrison, Romy Adonis, a lot of talent.
Romy Adonis?
Or what is his full name?
Romy Adunze.
Romy Adunze. A lot of intrigue. Should be interesting to see, but, you know, really could have like 4 or 5 quarterbacks going in the first round. Maybe there'll be some interesting trades before the draft, but a lot of excitement, and we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
My phone. I'm being told my phone is staticky.
Now so, it's good.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Trying to think of what?
No,
I'm trying to think about what else is going on.
No,
next
just
week.
WWE. If you want to touch on that real quick, Backlash coming up.
Backlash.
Cody Rhodes taking on AJ Styles. It's just so weird that Roman's not champ anymore. It already feels like Cody Rhodes' title run is stale. Just kidding. But
I actually disagree. They're overseas right now.
I'm kidding.
And they're killing it. I mean, they're selling out everywhere. The fans love Cody. You know, listen, Roman's going to come back. He's going to be a baby face. There's so many different interesting storylines that could take place. Yeah. So Cody's going to be defending next weekend already against
AJ Styles.
Wait, where is Backlash?
France.
Oh, wow. And that's funny because I'm going to be in London next weekend. Wait, so Backlash is during the day next Saturday?
I don't know the exact times, but I know it's in France. I could check the times real quick.
That is crazy that I will be in London.
Yeah, Lyon, France. Starts at 12:30 p.m., so I'll be watching that.
On Saturday.
Yep, Saturday, May... not this Saturday, following Saturday. On Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
Oh, okay. I thought it was next week. But, you know, AJ is a perfect first opponent for Cody. They've never been in a one-on-one match. And if you follow AJ Styles' career, the guy is, like, short of Shawn Michaels, probably one of the more talented guys out there at making everybody look good. I remember he even had a great match with Brock Lesnar. So I fully expect Cody to win the match, but a great first opponent for Cody to get off on the right foot with his title reign. Another interesting thing just wanted to point out is that they were saying that Seth Rollins got through WrestleMania with a torn MCL?
Torn MCL. And there's actually a video on Twitter of when Roman hit him with the chair in the main event of WrestleMania Night 2, you could see his, like, leg just looked loose. Yeah. And, like,
it was like a dead leg, a skanky leg almost.
But
yeah, so he obviously went out there. He gave his all. And Seth is one of those guys, I think people tend to look at him as sort of always a bridesmaid, but never a bride, for lack of a better way to put it. Even when you look at Moxley and Roman, you know, Seth has been out there for years, giving his all. The WWE shoved Roman down people's throats until Roman became the tribal chief and took himself to another era. But I do think that when Seth comes back, he's going to be even more appreciated by the fans because of what he did WrestleMania weekend. And like Jordan said, I think people were criticizing the WWE because they didn't even have footage of Seth coming through the crowd during the main event on night two of WrestleMania. It was really just fan cameras and stuff, but he might have been acting, but it literally looked like he could barely walk.
Yep.
And barely walk.
I think two storylines that I just want to mention for WWE to watch out for. One being Chad Gable on Raw. Very excited to see his heel. I saw some rumors that he might be teaming up with the Creed brothers, the big wrestler guys. That the not the big wrestlers guys, but like their characters are as if they are like actual wrestlers.
They're very good, very talented. They'd probably be a nice fit with him. As my guess is, the next thing is going to be they'll probably end up like beating the crap out of Otis, just to further the heel character. And I could see Gable taking it to the next level in that character.
Yeah, it's like again, Kurt just Angle
storyline development. Yeah, Kurt Angle 2.0. And this weekend, the storyline with the Bloodline continued too.
Just about to say, it gets better each week.
Yeah, no, and just watching like Heyman just act all scared and stuff like that, and they're just going to end up drawing this out. I fully expect that Jacob Fatu is going to join at some point too, most likely, and they're just going to continue to do the slow burn and just extend out the Bloodline story.
As they should.
It's going to end up being, it's going to literally be like the greatest storyline in the history of wrestling. And it probably is already. I mean, you know, you think back about like Ric Flair and Cody Rhodes and Dusty Rhodes being good storyline, but only because just Flair's the champ and the bad guy, Cody's the baby face, or Dusty's the baby face. I keep having that Freudian slip, but I don't think there's any other storyline in wrestling history has that gone on this long, had this many layers, had this many people joining.
Yeah.
And the rumors are when they have the draft, you know, a week from Monday or, you know, on both shows, Raw and SmackDown, that Cody might be going to SmackDown. And then you might be looking at Jey Uso as being at the top star on Raw for a while. It's just amazing.
Well, him and Gunther, I think, will also stay on Raw.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see with Gunther coming back and how they're going to position him. It's funny, like, in the post-WrestleMania era of WWE, it's like no Rock, no Roman, no Gunther, no Cody, no Becky. Not Cody, Gunther and Seth, no Becky. It's amazing. I mean, like, you have all this star power, but they just keep having guys step up. You know, Solo, obviously, he's another one. Solo Sikoa, LA Knight.
I'm ready for the Solo train. I think he's going to be – he's getting more confident. I just think, like, when he came out in his suit the other day, I was just like, damn, like, this guy, he has, like, the aura and, like, the attitude of someone who could –
I agree. It's the one thing I'll say is they're almost positioning like it. It's like the bloodthirsty, power-hungry – don't think, just do type mentality.
It's almost like the cartel in a way.
Yeah. Well, I think Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns were saying a lot of these storylines are based on movies. Yeah. Godfather, Goodfellas, all that type of stuff. But I think everything is so carefully planned.
Yeah.
And it, you know, Solo being like bloodthirsty and like, again, not thinking, just doing, that will probably come back to haunt them at certain times. Whereas like Jay and Jimmy are like the veterans who are a little bit more deliberate and stuff like that. But like you could see it coming, like Survivor Series. I mean, it could be the the old bloodline against the new bloodline. I mean, the Rock could come back with one of the bloodlines. The possibilities are endless. And it's funny because, you know, The Rock, even though he's filming his movie, he's posting all the Instagram stuff about him fighting Cody and stuff. I got to be honest with you. I feel like The Rock is sort of played. Like, I know, you know, it's like he's the biggest movie star in the world, so people think it's a positive for him to be around. But I feel like it's almost like being forced onto people. I don't know if you feel that way. I just feel like the WWE would be doing just as well without him there.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. It's like almost annoying. Like, what, he's going to come back in and he's going to beat Cody for the title? I think that would be ridiculous for him to beat Cody for the title. You know, it's just let Roman become a good guy. And I don't know. I just feel like wrestling fans, they look at The Rock and it's just like, final boss, this, that, the other thing. And just, yeah, let's hop on the train when the train is leaving the station. Yeah. You know, as opposed to being there to putting in the work to make it great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just my thoughts.
Yeah. Just last
thing. Anyway, by the way, I was just going to say also real quick, Michigan basketball hitting the ground running with their new coach. Really,
I was going to say the number 7 recruiting class of 2024. They just got a big guy from Yale transferred over. So
yeah,
it doesn't mean we're contending for the championship, but at least there's some promise for the future.
There's no question. There's no question to have a coach come out of the gate like that so quickly. I mean, the guy got hired a month ago. And just circling back also to what Michigan football and the spring game, It's really tough to know how that team is going to be this year after losing so many guys. It sounds like their defense should be strong. Offense, I don't know.
Donovan Edwards looked very good.
He looked fantastic. I agree with you. But when you think about the talent on some of these other teams, like Texas and Ohio State, it's just, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just wanna...
It's like Texas coming in. It could get really ugly that second week. Texas comes into the big house.
Just want to make one point about the game. Have you noticed like a difference when watching Michigan versus these other spring games? Michigan is tackling people full force. They don't like do the two-hand touch rule, except for quarterbacks. But Ohio State is doing this like funky point system where everyone, like Michigan has that mentality where it's like the do or die. Like we are going to be the best, and we're not like they're tackling in April. And the season does not.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think Moore has carried that over from the Harbaugh era. And the thing is, I really wasn't a college football fan before you went to Michigan. So I don't have much to measure it against. But it just seems like they're carrying over that mentality. And during the Harbaugh era, at least the last 3 years, there were players who might not have been heralded coming out of high school, and they came to Michigan and they played better than their reputation and their ratings beforehand. I hope that continues. But again, you still need talent.
Yeah.
You need a lot of talent. And, you know, as much as coming off a national championship, everybody wants Michigan to go undefeated again or one loss or two losses, but it wouldn't be unheard of to have a down year. When I say a down year, to have 3 or 4 losses, still make the college playoffs. I mean, let's be honest, they're going to do everything they can to have Michigan in there because of ratings, but probably not winning the championship next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do agree with you, though. It just feels like that mentality is just a little bit different about the effort that they give on the field. And there was one other thing I was going to say related to Michigan. Try not to say
We could say it.
No, it's just something related to them.
Yep.
And yeah, oh, what I was going to say is it's hard to believe that Michigan has not lost a game at the Big House in the last 3 years. And in all likelihood, they're going to lose a game at the Big House this year. But that's how spoiled.
Maybe.
They have not lost a game at the Big House in the past 3 years. The only game that they lost was during the regular season was Michigan State when
Kenneth Walker had the biggest happy birthday game of his life.
I still remember that game, man. I was shocked. But that's the only game. Other than that, they lost in the college football playoffs 2 years in a row. And last year, they went undefeated. I mean, just an incredible run.
Yeah.
An absolutely incredible run.
Indeed. Well, with that being said, your boy got 8 days junior year left. So I'll be home with the old man doing the show live. Maybe with Jack Posnack, Jack Attack.
Yeah, you gotta let Jack know that we recorded.
I did. He listened to the last one.
Okay, well, you can let him know about this one as well.
Yep. Well, with that being said, thank you guys for listening. We know it's a Sunday night, but we appreciate it. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, we may not post this. I was gonna tell Jordan to post the show tomorrow. I wait to post the show tomorrow just because people, you know, our millions and millions of listeners aren't necessarily going to be paying attention tonight. I would wait till tomorrow, like midday, to post. But we thank everybody who listens. Totally appreciate if you could tell your friends to give us a listen. And don't forget to follow GoToGuys.
GoToGuys Sports and Jacob's Dynasty Sports. By the way, if you're Jewish, have a good Passover. Starts tomorrow. And yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Have a good night.